This week, an interesting week in life because it paralleled two different experiences at the same time. One was the loss of somebody that I didn't anticipate leaving so suddenly, and the other was the story of our neighbor just a couple houses down from us who discovered one heart in recent days, but also was dealing and battling cancer. And so on Saturday, a week ago, they were traveling to MD Anderson to get their report, and so messages were coming from them regarding what it is that they anticipated, while also by the time Sunday was unfolding and Monday, we were realizing that someone we loved had gone on to be with the Lord. And as that week was unfolding, I found myself in two different places. One place encouraging somebody that as they battle through what it is they're facing, they can always trust Him. And the other was encouraging those whose loved ones have gone on to be with Jesus. And in the parallel of those two moments, it reminded me of my place in life. Because my place rests not just in those who are battling things, but also those who've experienced the glory and the majesty of who Jesus is. And as I was walking through that experience, it brought me to an awareness of what we were doing today in church. Because today we look at what it means to discover your place as a life changer. How do you encounter life in such a way that you discover exactly why He designed you the way He designed you, why He equipped you the way He equipped you, why He empowered you to live effectively in life? And as that week unfolded, it was intriguing to watch, first of all, the faith of a widow whose hope is fixed on Jesus, and then the faith of a husband whose hope is fixed on Jesus. And I'm so happy to report to you that sweet lady who wrote the words they wrote to me testified to the power and the sweetness of this fellowship. Because what happened is they felt the love of God when they came into this place a few weeks ago. And they have felt it all through their encounter. And so as they wrote their praise report that the cancer was not there anymore in her jaw, and as they celebrated what had happened by way of communication, it was interesting because they wrote and said, "We're sorry we can't be there tomorrow, but she's so tired from all she's been through all week." And I said, "You know, don't worry about that. We have something to celebrate." And as I read her words, I said to myself, listen carefully. In life, if you don't discover your place, what happens? You get misplaced. And society and culture will misplace you and push you in the wrong direction. But if you discover what it is God has for you, something begins to happen inside of who you are. Because all of a sudden you start, you know what? I was made for this. He designed me for this. And I can tell you, for me as a boy growing up, I never dreamed I would ever conduct a funeral, never dreamed I would ever counsel somebody going through cancer, never dreamed I would have the privilege of pastoring a wonderful church like this. All those dreams were not connected, but listen carefully, I yielded to His place in my life. And what you discover is when you start yielding to something, something begins to happen inside of you. You start discovering it. You start seeing what it is that makes you who you are, and you get energized and empowered. And what happens is we find ourselves today in 1 Thessalonians, and in this particular text, as you open your Bible to the fourth chapter, I want to show you a phrase that you encounter in this text that's only found here in the Bible. But it's one of those places where you understand that what Paul was saying to those that were at Thessalonica, he was saying if you discover your place, something will happen inside of His plan for your life, and all of a sudden your life will blossom. That's why one of the most intriguing and powerful things to me that I experienced yesterday at a funeral service was watching how somebody rolling in a wheelchair can touch the hearts of people. Paul's place was in the Lord's house, and it was amazing to watch all that unfold. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to show you a phrase. Look, if you would, at verse 9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, I want you to look at that phrase, taught by God, because listen carefully. In the original language, and only used here in the entire Bible, if you actually took it literally, it would say God taught, which tells you something. The equipping that God wants to give us, that what He wants to instill inside of us, He will teach us if we're just willing to allow Him to work. If we're just willing to say, Lord, use me. Do something inside of who I am. And watch me yield to you and watch what happens as a result of that. And so, you have to stop and ask yourself, what was happening in Thessalonians that Paul wrote this letter? And what you discover is that they, watch this, were misplacing their anticipation of the Lord's return with regard to their responsibility now. In other words, they were so excited about Jesus coming back that they lost focus of what they were supposed to do on earth. And that's why he writes this letter. Excuse me. He writes this letter to equip people, the church there, to be able to say, you know what? If we're supposed to be who God intends for us to be, what do we have to do? We have to discover our place. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about this question, because it may be that you'll, as you walk through this question, it may open your eyes up to something he wants to teach you. Because as you think about it, perhaps it will cause you to yield to his direction for your life. Because as you think about how you discover your purpose, how you discover your place, all of us have responsibilities before him. We just have to be willing to go, what is it you have for me? So here's what I want to ask you a question. What have you discovered lately about yourself? What have you discovered lately about yourself? In other words, if you were to sit down and someone was to hand you a card and say, tell me something you learned about yourself lately. Everyone here probably would write something down. Well, perhaps this, perhaps that. And what you discover is life is a unfolding, watch this, is the unfolding of the discovery process in which as we obey, watch this, we get to see him work. And as we disobey, we miss what it is he has for us. And so if you'll think about it, in light of how you're supposed to experience life, what happens when you anticipate too much and you don't experience as much affirmation as you need? And what happens, all of a sudden you get all caught up in just what the next experience is going to be. And I have some friends that I watch are always looking for the next experience. And let me watch this carefully. If you're always looking for the next experience, you may miss the experience that matters the most. Because ultimately, what it is God wants to do inside of you, that's the most powerful thing that could happen. So here's the Thessalonians. They're all caught up in the idea of, hey, how do we get there? Where are they going? What's going to happen? Jesus is coming back. And all of a sudden, watch this, all of a sudden, he brings to light that they have been taught by God and brought their focus back to love and what love can do. And here's what I want you to see. In order to live life the way you're supposed to, you have to be able to balance anticipation and affirmation in order to experience the victory that God has for your life. And in order to discover the discovery, or in order to, the key to discovering everything that God has for you. So watch what you do. Here you are, you're encountering the experience. And if you listen carefully to the testimony that Ron shared a moment ago about what happened in Honduras with our mission team, is they had a plan, and God had a different plan. And so what did they do? They anticipated in preparation what they're going to do, certain things. But then they found certain things redirected their path. And what I want you to see today is this. When you anticipate obedience, watch this, you can experience the affirmation of the opportunity God has for you. But if you, watch this, if you do it in your own way, if you zero in on only what you want, what happens? The experience ends up being something absolutely different. And so here's what I want you to think about in your own life. When you anticipated something and it turned out to be better or worse than what you anticipated, what brought you back to balance yourself out? What you discover is that something amazing begins to happen inside of you because you go, wow, this works. And I had the most blessed moment right before church service started. I got to see two sweet granddaughters coming in with their grandfather, and they both had these giant smiles on their face. And one said, oh, you won't believe what I did yesterday. I said, what did you do? She said, I took a hike. I said, that's amazing. I was sitting there thinking, I'm glad it wasn't me hiking. I'm glad it's grandpa instead of me. But the other one said, oh, I had a great time too. I said, what'd you do? She said, oh, I ate ice cream and chocolate. And I was thinking, now, she's my kind of kid. I mean, that's the kid I anticipate hanging out with. But let me tell you what, I watched them walk in and how I thank God, first of all, that a grandfather brings those kiddos to be here to study God's word downstairs, to be a part of what we're about. More than that, you know what those kiddos were saying? We anticipated something amazing, and it happened for both of us. And I asked, them after they finished telling me the story, I said, well, tell me this, which one of you had the best experience? And it's interesting to watch because you could tell they both had great experiences. Here's what I want you to see in life. God has great experiences in store for you. Sometimes it's a hike to discover what it is he has for you. Other times it's to sit down at the table and to be blessed by what it is he's doing in you. It's just your willingness to be able to balance those things out. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and today I want to take you through several texts. I want you to follow me quickly as we walk through it. But I want you to see that there's a discovery process that unfolds that Paul wanted the Thessalonians to get a hold of. And what I want you to see today is this. if you anticipate too much, you may lose the awareness of what he's doing right now. In other words, if you start thinking, man, the only thing that matters is this. What if something else matters now? And all of a sudden you regroup and you rethink and you reestablish yourself in a thought process. And what I want you to see is when you come to a place where your anticipation is balanced with the affirmation of God at work in you, then your life takes on a whole new dimension. And my encouragement today is this. You want to live an amazing life? You want to encounter something that's absolutely profound? You want to live life in such a way you go, wow, that is God? Then all you do is you stop and discover your place. And when you discover your place, something will begin to happen inside of you. So read with me, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 9. I want us to look at verses 9 through 12, because here he comes to some places that you and I need to make sure we're clearly aware of in order to discover our place. Now as to, verse 9, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it towards all the brethren here in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. A phrase that we have seen several times as we've been walking through what it means to be a life changer. Verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business and work with your own hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. Now, when you read this, you realize he comes to life by way of instruction with very practical application. These are the things you're supposed to do in order to experience life the way that he intended. And what he says is you've been taught by God to love. It's obvious. But beyond that love, you ultimately have to come to a place where you have to take care of your own business, your own responsibility. And what you discover is that you and I, as we look at this discovery process, we'll see he uses the word ambition. And you know, in our culture, ambition is seen only as something as scaling a ladder. But when you look at the word in the Bible, it ultimately comes back to what you choose to honor. So if I choose to honor what it is he wants to do in my life, then something begins to happen inside of my journey of faith. And so what I want you to see today is three very distinctive things that guide you towards experiencing the discovery process that will unfold inside of your life and will lead you to an amazing life. And what I want you to do is look at these scriptures with me as we look at them. The first thing I want you to see as you look at this, especially in verses 9 and 10, is being willing to accept the lessons offered to you by God. Accepting those lessons offered by God. Because what he says here is that God taught them. And the reference point is this. When he gives it to you, you ought to hang on to it forever. You ought to be willing to say, you know what, that's what I want in life. I want to be able to experience that lesson and let it be lived out inside of my life. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at several verses. First of all, turn to Romans chapter 5. Hang a left back to Romans chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I want you to show you several verses that help you see what it is that God wants to do. And if you would, beginning verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now remember, he's just been referencing here the significance of how love works in our lives and how we relate to people when we extend love to them. All right, so all of a sudden he says here that if you want to end experiencing hope, you want to end up experiencing hope the way he intended, then what you do is you anchor your hope in the one who knows everything about you. And something will happen inside of you. Look at 1 John. Turn back past Thessalonians to 1 John chapter 2. Turn and as you're turning there, recognize that here again, we're connecting ourselves into how we live our lives in such a way that we learn the lessons that God has for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. In other words, when somebody learns the lesson that the only way to live life is turn the light on, and walk in that light, then you're not stumbling over things. And watch this. What happens oftentimes in life, we stumble over ourselves. Perhaps we want something that we don't need to have. Perhaps we pursue something that can never fill us up. Perhaps we're overwhelmed by something because we let it become a part of our story. And what I want you to see today is this. If your story is anchored in you, then it's anchored in the wrong thing. It should be anchored in what it is that God wants to do in you. how he wants to work inside of you. And so what happens is love begins to become a focal point for our lives. So I want you to think about this in light of these texts and in light of what it is we're looking at today. Because accepting the lesson offered by God demands, watch this, that I'm willing to say, you know what, that came from God. And what I did today was to take you into Romans and in 1 John to show you something. That you want to have life the way he intended, have your hope anchored in something. You want to have life the way that he wants to work inside your life, then walk in the light. So what does he do here? Take the hope of God, let that hope rest on you, and as it does, the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and as it gets brighter, you don't stumble. You ever stumbled over something you knew was right in front of you and you forgot it? I've done that. I've walked along and I knew something was there and stumbled right out. And we have a dog in our house that's like another part of our family. And Chloe has this habit of laying wherever you're walking. And for some reason believes that she actually owns that part of the house. And so she doesn't move when you're trying to get where you're supposed to go. And last night she was getting ready to go to sleep. And so I said, Chloe, get the foot of the bed, get your spot. And so she jumps up there and we just turned the light off and all of a sudden we heard boom, boom. I thought, what happened to Chloe? Chloe fell off the bed because Chloe went to the wrong spot. And I turned the light on and she was standing by the bed with her head like startled that something had happened. She didn't know what happened. And you know, as she did that, I thought to myself, that's what happens to us sometimes. We lay our lives down in the wrong spot. And we fall and go, boom, boom. And we get up looking around thinking, oh, nobody saw that. And the reality is, even Chloe, the dog, was embarrassed. Because she thought she could always jump off that bed without a problem. You can if you don't use your feet first. And what I want you to think about today in your own faith is when you step into discovering his place for you, something happens inside of your story. And it's amazing. So how do you do that? How do you come to a place where all of a sudden you can live out the way he intended? The first thing you have to do is you have to have an open mind. In other words, to learn the lessons, you got to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to learn this lesson. I'm going to learn this lesson because my dog last night, I told her, I said, now, Chloe, I turned the light off, I said, Chloe, I'm about to turn the light off again, get where you're supposed to be. That dog jumped right in her spot. And I didn't see her move all night. It's like she's paralyzed in that spot. And what I want you to see is when your mind's open, listen carefully. If a dog can understand instructions, surely we can. Surely we can say, you know what? I got to have my mind open. What does he want to do with me? And here's what I want you to see. Don't close your mind to his opportunity. It may very well be you're here and you realize something. He wants you to be a part of what his work's about in his church, a part of this kingdom work, a part of what's happening, a part of being able to rejoice, for example, with six people who go into the world, a part of being able to rejoice when people make a difference all over our city. And a church where, as Chester testified to, that has the Great Commission as a part of its story, living out that command. But you have to have an open mind. But not only that, you have to have also a willing spirit. Because if he teaches you something, you got to be willing to receive it. You got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to take that on. And it's interesting to me because he uses the phrase very clearly here with them that you've been taught this. And he says in verse 10, for indeed you do practice it towards all the brethren, but we still urge you to keep on excelling. And what he was saying was this, and when you look at that phrase, excel still more, it has to do with this idea of maintaining a super focus on what matters the most so you can be the best at it. If you've ever watched anybody who is an amazing athlete, what you discover is they focus. And there's a player now, an NBA that shoots baskets from every direction, and you know, you watch him shoot and you go, how could he do that? Let me tell you why. How he does it. He does it because he focuses. And here's what Paul says to Thessalonians. To excel still more is to have this super focus where nothing else gets in the way of your focus. I'm going to tell you what we discover. We can come up with so many reasons not to have a willing spirit. I would go, but I won't. I could go, but I can't because I'm busy. And you go through all these different aspects, and the truth of the matter is all it is about opening up the opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. But so you have an open mind, you have a willing spirit, but more than anything else, you have a thankful heart. Let me tell you, when gratitude rests on top of you, watch this, you don't gripe about anything, you express gratitude for everything. you all of a sudden, you quit going, you know what, I don't want this thing to get a hold of me and paralyze me. And watch this. Ingratitude paralyzes our capacity to learn. When we all of a sudden quit being thankful, our learning capacity is reduced dramatically. And what I want you to think about today is this. You have to be willing to accept the lesson God has for you. That's the first step in discovering what it is He wants to do. And it may be He's teaching you a lesson even today. Maybe He just taught you a lesson, you just have to let it sink in. And that is, when you get grateful, something happens inside of you. And watch this, I've never watched an ungrateful person ever accomplish what God intended. When a person, watch this, when they allow their attitude and disposition to be anchored in their preferences instead of His purpose, they lose the power of God at work in their life. And how many times I've seen people who could have had such an amazing contribution, even people who at one point were in this building, but because their preference ruled over His purpose, they allowed that to steal the direction of their life. And I'm going to say this to you. If you let your preference get ahead of what it is that God has for you, God help you. Because what He wants to do inside of this house, this fellowship, is not defined by man's terms. It's defined by God alone. He orders the steps of our journey. He's the one who directs our steps. So first of all, discover to accept the lesson. Look on, though. Look at verse 11. Notice what he said. Which, by the way, when you get this place, when you learn the lessons you learn from God, when you start practicing them, they're always centered in obedience. They're always centered in acts of obedience. When I get it, what God wants me to do, I'm always willing to obey, always willing to yield. And what you and I need to do is to say, Lord, how can I yield to what it is that you have for me? The second thing is learning how to live with the right ambition. Now, this is an interesting thought because when you look at verse 11, what he says here, he said, and make your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own hands, your own business, and work with your own hand, just as we commanded you. And as I mentioned to you, the word ambition there has a parallel thought. One side of it has to do with the zeal and energy of being able to say, you know, this is what I want to do in life. And the other side of it has to do with honor. And what he says here is, you're going to have life the way God intended. You've got to be willing to move in the right direction with the right kind of ambition. And when you have the right ambition, what happened to you? Man, you get so fired up because you start living for something that money can't buy and people can't change. You start all of a sudden go, you know what? This is what God has for me. And you know, that's what I live for. I live for something that money could never buy. And I live to believe and understand that as I obey, something will happen amazing and powerful. Friday night, I found myself late at night studying, getting ready for the service to celebrate the homegoing of a man that I loved and cared about. And as I was sitting there meditating, I got to thinking about heaven. And I got to thinking about what Paul had experienced and all those who followed behind him, what they have the privilege to be able to experience if they choose to follow him. And it's interesting because right after I finished that, I read an article. And in the article was a basic study of the basic mindset of the person who lives in our country. And it's interesting because for the average person, they think there are multiple ways to get to heaven. 66% say it's any pathway you get on gets you the same place. Listen carefully. If you get in your car and you're driving, you want to go to Athens and you end up in Birmingham, you're on the wrong path. You got in the wrong car or you got in the wrong place and you went in the wrong direction. And what I want you to see today is this. When you start meditating on what direction you want to go, you want to head due north at the end of your journey. It's interesting. That same study, they asked people, do you think there is a hell? They said 64%, I think, said, yes, there is. They said, well, do you think you'll go there? 2% said, yep. Which tells you something. Everybody thinks no matter what, they're going to go and see bright lights. Listen carefully. You want to see a bright light? You better find the light. And when you find the light, then He begins to shine inside of you. And what you see here, He says, make your ambition something that absolutely moves you forward. And it's interesting. If our ambition is just connected to other people, we miss what it is God has for it. But if our ambition is centered in Him, something begins to happen inside of our life. Two scriptures I want you to look at. First of all, turn back to Romans again. And turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. Just a few pages over. Romans chapter 15 and verse 20. And as you're turning there, I want you to think about, as we read this book and this text in Romans, it's obviously about that connects us into the gospel, but listen to what he says in verse 20. And thus I aspire. In other words, my ambition is to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. And when you read that, you realize that he uses the word aspire, same concept as what it is that we seek by way of ambition. And what you see is, all of a sudden, I make this my ambition. Look at one of the verses, because I want to show you a verse that probably is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, if you would. And in verse 9. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. For to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now think about that verse. I put you to the test to see if you would pass it and be obedient in everything. And here's what he really said. If you don't obey, you can't learn, and you can't have the right ambition. So when you think about that, you see here that he says in this verse that we make it our ambition. And this idea of our ambition has to do with considering how to honor what it is that God places in our life. In other words, looking at it in the right perspective, knowing how to do the right thing. And what you discover is, when you learn how to honor, something begins to happen in a powerful way. We have one of our sweet friends up here that is Chinese by background. And up in this balcony, you probably don't know this, but up in this balcony, Cordy Swift, every Sunday, she takes what I say and she writes it on, and they Google my English into her language. Now, I want you to, first of all, you ought to praise God that Cordy can keep up at all with what it is that I'm doing. But let me tell you what's most amazing to me. I have watched this wonderful lady walk into church every Sunday. She may not speak a lot of English, but she certainly knows how to find a great God, because she's in his house. And what I want you to see is, you know what? When she shakes my hand, she always honorably shakes my hand. And every once in a while, she'll give me a hug. And it's so sweet to see the spirit of somebody who comes in. And you know what? As I watch her walk in every Sunday, I always think, we always have an excuse why we can't do something. She could easily say, well, I don't speak English. But she doesn't use his excuse. And back at Christmas time, we had a gentleman here with his girlfriend, and she speaks Spanish. It's her language. And so I was firing away, and we got done, and I could tell that, you know, it's like deer in headlights kind of look as I was preaching. And so afterwards I said, how much did you understand? She said, about 10%. I said, well, you got the big heart of it. You did better than most people speak English. So that's positive for sure. But she's come more than one time. And the last time I saw her, I said, well, how much did you get this time? She said, I got almost, I forget what percentage, I want to say 75 or 90%, something like that. Here's what I want you to think about. What choice we have to honor. When we learn how to honor, something begins to happen inside of our story. You just have to consider how to do it. And that's what ambition is really all about. You see, for me, my ambition is not to be big. My ambition is to be blessed. A big difference. In other words, I want our church to be blessed. How many ever people God brings in and say, I want to be blessed. Because listen, when the blessing of God rests on you, the favor of God rests on you, and between his blessing and his favor, you get to discover your place in life. So not only does he give us this clear instruction about considering how to honor, but you'll notice he says very clearly, work with your own hands. Attend to your own business. And here's what I want you to see and recognize. That when someone begins to learn the right lessons, and someone begins to live with the right ambition, they'll stop and consider and contemplate quietness at times in their life. They'll contemplate quietness. In other words, they'll allow the Lord to speak to them in an amazing, powerful way. Last Sunday, we had the privilege not just of being able to baptize five who had said yes to Jesus. And let me just say, there's amazing stories from the ladies of Gilgal, what God has done, and how I thank God for all of our members who are involved in that ministry. But one of the most powerful things was to be able to watch as they came in the water and realize, what can wash away my sins? nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, when I encountered that, it was so cute that Ann North told me that she was up there helping the lady. And she told me yesterday at the funeral, she said, you know, the first girl in could see the men on the other side. And one of them was John Athens, who was EMT. And there was somebody falls out of baptistry, we would yank him out of there and put the heart back in gear. And so this girl's only 21, but, you know, she asked Ann, what's this? What are they doing? So, well, that one guy, he's EMT. And she's thinking, you mean I'm going to go in the water that long? I mean, I'm sure her, I wonder when she walked into baptistry, she seemed fearful a little bit. And yet the reality is that those men were only there to help and to learn. But I'm going to tell you what was amazing about Sunday. After the service, a young boy walked up to me and he said, just like them, I want to be baptized. So when we come to Palm Sunday next month, a month away, I'm going to baptize that precious boy. And anybody else that's in this room who's never given their heart to Christ, or if they've never followed in obedience, I want to encourage you to take that step today. You know what? I want to obey. I want to obey and see what it is God has for me. But let me tell you, when he says here that you work with your own hand, you learn how to contemplate this quietness. You know, some people, when they walk in their house, they turn something on immediately. They turn on the radio, they turn on the TV, and some of my friends, people I really love, they have the radio on the car all the time. And I don't like any noise in my car. And so whatever I'm riding with, I'll turn it off. And they'll look at me like, why'd you do that? I like the quietness of either hearing your voice or his voice, but I want to hear somebody on the radio yapping and or hear some song. And what I've discovered is when God gives you some quietness, you can hear him speak in such an amazing and powerful way. But you know what? When we're too loud, we don't hear him the way he intended. Come away with him to a quiet place. That's what Jesus did. You and I are to do the same thing. So what happens when we get, all of a sudden we start living with this right ambition, something begins to happen inside of who we are. There's a third and final thing I want you to see. Look at verse 12, if you would. And because here you see that you and I need to learn how to serve effectively with the right motive. In other words, we got to be willing to, you know, serve in a way that absolutely becomes effective. Because what does he do in verse 12 here? He says, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Let's look at some verses real quick. First of all, open your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Just hang back. You're only turning back just a few pages. Galatians chapter 6. And look at this very clear direction that Paul gives to the church, to the Galatians as he writes in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. I got to start all the way back to the first lesson learned here. All right. When you're reading, keep up with it because you don't want to lose it. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 4. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to one another, to another. Not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. And the one who is taught the word of God is to share all things with the one who teaches him. Now, I love that verse because that verse says, if you know how to fix a coconut pie, you share it with the pastor. Right? That's what that verse says. And because it says, you're supposed to share the good thing, and the good things to me are coconut cake, coconut pie, and a few other things that are really special. So, and you can throw a pecan pie in there if you want to because my wife likes that. But here's what I'm trying to get across in a bigger picture of life. When you get the place where all of a sudden you start serving effectively with the right motive, you won't be looking at everybody else and say, you know, that's my task to do. That's why on March 20th in the afternoon or early evening, I've asked all of our men to come together with me for 1 hour. Just, I want to talk to you about who we are and how God wants to work in us. And so I want to encourage every man, don't, if you're sitting in this room, I'm going to be talking about this between now and March 20th, don't mark your calendar, I might go there. If you put on your calendar, I'll be there at 6 o'clock in the Family Life Center to encounter what it is we're going to talk about. That it's just, and like I said, I guarantee you this, it will speak to who you are because my motive is pure. That is, I want our men to be the best men in Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond. So look on, first of all, it's Galatians chapter 6. Then let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Hang a right if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look, if you would, at verse 12. I love this promise. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I'm going to tell you, what Peter writes here is you are going to have people don't understand what you're up to, but you keep doing the right thing and in the right way, and watch what he does as a result of it. Keep your behavior in such a way that brings honor to him. And then let's look over, go back to your text in 2 Thessalonians just for a second, in chapter 3. Look, if you would, a very clear admonishment for all of us in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. It's interesting what Paul writes here. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now, when you read that promise, here's what you hear. Here's what Paul said at Thessalonians. You better step it up and do what you're supposed to do. Because what you need to do is you need to live your life in such a way that you're not just acting like you got it all figured out, but you're still trying to pursue what it is God has. And when you look at this, you're reminded what he really says in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is this. Focus all your attention on his plan, not yours. Focus your attention on what matters the most. Focus in and watch what he does inside of you. Focus your attention, because he makes it clear that you may behave towards others, outsiders, the right way. Because people are watching. You never know what they're looking for. You never know. You just have to focus your attention. My sweet neighbors I told you about who have been battling cancer, up until just a few weeks ago, they were driving all the way across town to another place that was connected to their past. And when they discovered there was a place here that people would love and encourage and bless and help them, they found a place to hang out. And what I want you to see today is this. You got to focus your attention on his plan. And what you see here is he said, make sure that you do whatever it is so that you're not in need. And how do you do that? You learn how to excel at your task. You see, for every one of us, we have limitations and we have giftedness. We have ability to do certain things and we have other abilities that are not. And I got tickled back in December. We were doing testimonies for our church. And I asked one of our men, I said, would you like to give a testimony? He said, absolutely not. He said, I'd be scared to death. But he looked at me and he said, that's not my thing. But he said, one thing about it, I've always got your back. And when he said, I thought, you know what? He's excelling at his task. And what a faithful man he is. And what you discover is when you excel at your task, something begins to happen. You begin to discover more about what you're supposed to do. Like for me, one of the things I've discovered, and as I've lived these many years and being able to experience what God has, I know exactly what he wants to do inside of my heart and my life, and I yield to it every day. This morning, before I ever roll out of my bed, before I come to church on Sunday, I come with an anticipation of what he's going to do. But I also want to see the affirmation of his work. And so I'm always praying, God, touch someone's heart that I didn't anticipate. Speak to someone's life in a way that I never dreamed you would. Change somebody in such a way that their life changes forever. And my question today is really, really simple. When you think about your own journey of faith, where's your place in his plan? Because if you're going to be a life changer, you got to find your place. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can find our place with you. In this room, our men and women who are looking for their place. And Lord, if there's somebody here whose place is to be a part of this family, I pray you to speak to their heart. If there's someone here who needs to follow you in obedience at the point of baptism, I pray, Lord, you would speak to their heart between now and Palm Sunday. Speak to their heart today. If there's someone here who just knows they need family and they need home, they need to become a part of this church today, speak to them. Lord, we know this. To be a life changer, you've got to discover your place. And we see so clearly that the Thessalonians were taught by God. Lord, we're taught by you today through your word and the promise of your word. And we make it our ambition, whether absent or present, to be pleasing to you. That is our ambition. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.